It's been a little while since I've been with you all here. And so I thought I would do a brief review, and I like to keep it brief because God has a lot more he wants to share. So it's been a month since I was last here, and I got to share with a few people. Pastor Bill actually called me the day after Christmas, and it's because he found out that I was going through something. And can you guess what he said to me on the phone? He said, "Are you doing what you've been preaching?" I was going through something, and it wasn't fun, and yet God had already reminded me, even before he did, and so I was. So I got a chance to practice what God's having me share with you, and that is that we have joy and can walk in joy independent of our situations and circumstances. That's what happiness relies on, okay? And happiness can be there 1 minute and gone the next minute. Someone gives you $100, happy. Someone else comes by and steals it from you, not so happy. You know, it's here and it's there, it's gone. Situations and circumstances. Now, I will say, and I don't think I shared this when we first talked about that simple definition, I was wishing people Happy New Year on the first via text. And I go, you know, that's still a good thing. I'd rather see you all happy than sad. So happy's still a good thing, but that's really not what joy's about. Joy comes from the Lord and is there all the time. Okay? So no matter what you're going through, you can walk in joy. And I was sharing with someone just before the service that we're actually just now getting to the point in this series of teachings that really excited me the most as I started. In other words, we're just getting to it. I've been up here for 8 weeks now. And we're getting to the point that really is what excited me about sharing this. And because knowing this church, here we get to hear the word of God over and over again, which is great. And so much of what I'd shared with you, you've heard one way or another before. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing and not by having heard, so it's good hearing it again. And sometimes hearing it from someone else can flip a switch that maybe wasn't flipped before. The Holy Spirit just goes, "Oh, did you catch that?" And then you do get it where you didn't get it before. But I will say that for my own life, did I know that God had put joy in me and that it was there? Yes. Known it for many years. But what God showed me just prior to leaving on my last trip to Tanzania was I really wasn't walking in it the way that I should be. And so I tell people, you know, I talk to God like he's there. And so I go, "Okay, God, you're showing me I'm not walking in it, then how do I do it?" You know, that's just how I'll talk to God. Show me. And guess what? He does in his word. Okay, it's in there. He doesn't give us something and say, "Well, there it is, figure it out. You're on your own." No, he actually shows us how it is that we can, and you can say this different ways, draw from, tap into, use that which he's given us. So through the Holy Spirit, we have joy in us. Now, I may not have understood to the extent that joy was in us, and we'll cover this a little bit next week in a little bit of a review, is I never realized how full of joy he says we are. That we're so full, he's crammed us so full of joy that it's just waiting to spill out. And really where we wrapped up a month ago when I was last here sharing was with the fact that God had showed me when I tried to open my mouthwash bottle. And it was one of those safety lids and it wouldn't come off. And I'm going, they make this so kids can get in, but adults can't, okay? I don't know if you've ever tried any of those. They're adult-proof. I don't know if they're child-proof. But this one was even real interesting. I go, okay, I know how these things work. You push in and then turn at the same time. Well, this one had a double of that. You do it once, and then you try to take it off, and it still doesn't come off. You've got to do it a second time. So by the time I was done, I'm like, oh, okay. But what he showed me in doing that, literally right while it happened, he goes, that's what's going on with people and what I put inside of them. It's like there's a child safety thing on there and it's not coming out. In other words, it's in there. And so what you need to do is, and what's funny is after I shared that the last time, a few people told me, they go, You know what I do? I open it once and then just close it short of it locking back in so I don't have to go through it again. And that's kind of what God showed me is you need to take it so that it comes out easily. In fact, just leave the cap off because that way when you're crammed full of it, almost any time you move, it's going to spill out, okay? And that's really what he wants to have happen. He wants us to be able to show the world what he's given us and who he is through what he's given us. If we keep it in, they can't see it, okay? So he's given us joy so that we can express it, walk in joy. It's good for us, but it also lets the world that doesn't know him know, hey, there's something about this person. What is it? They may come up and say, what do you have that I don't have? And then you can tell them. It'll open doors. So that's really what we're going to be looking at mostly the next 2 weeks, is how do we access, draw from that joy that he's put in us? If you remember, we actually started out this series by teaching on Ephesians chapter 6. And the first 6 weeks was putting on the full armor of God. But even in that, we talked about how joy is even part of that. You may not think so, but we talked about a couple of areas. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay? So how are you strong in the Lord? Through joy. So even in putting on that full armor, we need to be relying on joy. I think some people, and I've shared this with you before too, that they think that this is an either or. You come to church and you're holy and you're righteous and you're basically somber, acting a certain way. And I will tell you, it's not an either or. You're not in joy and then you're holy and righteous. It's a both and. You get to be both at the same time. You don't stop being one to be the other. So we can be here and worship God and be holy as he's holy and be full of joy and expressing joy at the very same time. It doesn't have to stop. So as I also shared, I read a book. Actually, Donna gave it to me probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 months before God had me share on this. And I read the book, The Surprising Power of Joy by Roland Wharton. And as I read that and God led me to share on this, I've never once shared what I would call about a book as a teaching, per se. The only book I share from is the Word of God, the Bible, okay? But what God impressed upon me to do was use how he explained things as an outline to go back into the Word and share what the Word said about it. And I shared with all of you the 7 points that he laid it out. And we've covered the first 6, so today we'll finish with the 7th point because it leads directly in and ties into the very beginning of how to tap in and use this joy that's inside of us. Okay? So the last point that he had that we had not covered yet, because I had you all write down all 7 of them, and the last point was that joy is not dependent upon mood or outcome. Joy is not dependent upon mood or outcome. Now, what I will say is, how would I put this? Every book I read, especially when it's about the Word of God and things of God, I read it to receive from it, but also a little bit critically. Not a critical spirit, but I mean, does this really line up with the Word of God? That's what I mean by critical. Not trying to tear something apart, but going, is this really truth according to the Word? Okay. I will say that if you read that statement in one way, I will say I agree with it one way and I disagree with it another way. Okay. If the fact that it says joy is not dependent upon mood or outcome, I will say that joy is not dependent upon your day-to-day life outcomes as you go through your day. However, the Bible makes it very clear that there are 2 outcomes in our lives that we are to be looking at on a daily basis in order to draw from the joy that he's put in us. Okay? So that's what the Word says. So we're going to go with that. How's that? And not just a blank statement. So I'm not saying that he's 100% wrong, but there are things in the Word that says you do need to look at two specific outcomes. The first is looking back. And in looking back, I will tell you, God typically doesn't have me spend a lot of time looking back. Okay? I think some people like to look back and talk about the good old days and how it was and how things were so nice and so much better. And all I can say when I've looked, I go, not really. They really weren't. In fact, all I can say is I walk with Jesus, I find each day to be better. Because he's making me more and more like him. So I see my life getting better than it was before. Okay, that's just me personally. I actually think that's the way that it should be. So I don't spend too much time looking back. Now, he does tell me to look back, and here's the two reasons I look back. One is so I can see his faithfulness in my life and be thankful. He's looking for thankful people. So for that, we are to look back. This other point, and it's really part of that, because I can tell you when I look back, the thing I am most thankful for is he saved me. He gave me life. And so I look back to the day of my salvation. Now, some of you may say, I don't really remember that day. It was a long time ago. And I don't really remember being full with great joy at that time. But what I would say for me, because that would be me. A lot of people remember that day and remember they can go, it was just great joy. I was 13 years old when I was saved. I knew I was saved. But I can't tell you that I remember experiencing any great joy when it happened. I mean, I think maybe almost more of a sense of relief or something, like, whew, I'm saved and I know it, you know? But I can tell you now, looking back, as I look back at that day, I do it with joy because I can see all that that day of salvation has given me throughout my life and where he's led me from that time. So I do look back on that day with joy, okay? Want to go to a few specific verses that tell us that we should go here to draw from joy. First would be Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 18. For those of you who do take notes, you might want to just scribble down the verse and not try to fight, because we're going to go through three or four of them here fairly quickly. I'll read them. Habakkuk 3:18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." I will joy in the God of my salvation. Isaiah 61:10. Tells us, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation." See, he has clothed us in garments of salvation, and there is joy there. There is to be joy there. We need to consider this. In fact, there are numerous verses in the book of Psalms. If you read through Psalms, you will see connections to joy and your salvation over and over again. Now, I will say, I read through many of them looking because I knew I'd be sharing this, but also knew for time I could spend the whole rest of today just going through Psalms sharing you all these verses. I don't know. If you're anything like me, typically when someone who's speaking shares something like this, my mind will just go to a verse. Okay? It's just the way my mind works. So, if I'm guessing, if any of you are like me, your mind probably went to a specific verse in Psalms. You may not know that it was found there, verse and chapter. But to me, when I think of a verse that talks about joy and salvation, my mind immediately goes to Psalms 51:12. Immediately. This is not one that I have put in me so that I can quote it word for word, except for I know what it says there. And it says this, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." So in looking back at that time of being saved and what God has done in our lives since the time of being saved, it enables us to draw out from the joy that he's put in us. There's one last verse that I want to share on this before we go on to the next point that God would have me share, and that is Isaiah 12, verse 3. Because here it tells us, once again, there's something that we need to do. God has put joy in us, but he put it there for a reason. He wants it to be part of our lives, and he knows we need it. He knows we need it for strength. We know that. We just talked about it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If we're going to be strong, we need joy, the joy of the Lord. It's that simple because that's what the Word of God says. I say it all the time. Sometimes people will look at me when I say something and I go, I didn't say it. God did. Blame him. If you don't think it's right, it's not me. God said it. You're not going to be strong if you don't have joy. It's that simple. Once again, I didn't say it. God did. We need his joy. Isaiah 12:3 says this, therefore with joy. So in other words, here's something you're going to do with the joy that he's given you. In other words, it's your part. He's given it to you, but you still have something to do. Therefore with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Okay? This is part of walking out our lives as he would have us walk out our lives. Pastor Bill has shared here several times using different words, but more or less a simplification maybe of what he said is there is what the Bible calls the milk of the word. And some people like to call that the basics, but I call it, to me, it's kind of the beginnings. Okay. The milk of the word being the beginnings is really to know who God is and what he's given you and who you are in him. That's the beginning. Now, the tough part, the meat, is walking out your life the way he would have you walk out your life based on who he is and what he's given you and who you are in him. Okay? So that's really what we're talking about these last 2 weeks is the walking out of it. Okay? That he has given us joy so that we are to walk in it. And he doesn't just give you things like for no reason, as we've already talked about. He gives it because you know you need strength. He knows it because you need to draw from the wells of your salvation. Okay? So now the other outcome, we talked about one outcome that you do need to look at, and it's in the past. The other outcome you need to look at is in the future. Because we can be assured by the Word of God that he wins, and because he wins, we win. When you think about that, does that bring joy to any of you? It does me. When I think about the fact, I win. Joy. Okay? And so we're to think about that. We win because he wins. He's coming back, and he wins and we win. To me, it's kind of easy to see, but do we do that often? When you're not necessarily, have you ever caught yourself, you can tell you're not walking in joy? I'll tell on myself, I have. Okay? And since he has shown me all these different ways to, through his word, to draw from that joy, I can go to any one of them just like that. I can think of my salvation and joy comes. I can think of his final victory and the fact that I win and joy comes just like that. It's always there, but I mean, it starts coming out of me and I start walking in it. And that's really what excited me about sharing this because I want all of you to be able to walk in joy all the time. Okay? So this is the other way. Let's look at a few verses. In fact, we actually talked about a situation a month ago when I last shared the fact that Jesus went to the cross and endured the cross. He was able to do it for the joy that was set before him. Not that what was to come was going to be joyful. You know, being killed on the cross, I don't, any of us would go, yep, I'll take that for joy. No, he did it because he saw the final outcome. That going to the cross, we would be redeemed. He saw that. And so he was able to walk his life out in joy. In the same way, we need to see God's final victory so that we can walk through to that final victory. Even in the midst of, and all I can say is, I love some of Paul's words sometime. You know, Paul has a way of putting things. He says, you know, we can count it all glory. We can have joy in the midst of these present you know, kind of minor problems and sufferings, light afflictions, these present light afflictions that we go through, you know? Sometimes I don't think we look at them as present light afflictions, but that's really what Paul called them, and most of what he was going through is probably worse than most any of us are dealing with at any given time. But he says, we can look at those and enjoy, go through them because of the glory that's set before us. So be looking at that as you're going through things. And I hope you catch the fact that I keep saying going through things. Don't get stuck in any of them, okay? Look at all of them like this is a situation or circumstance, and I'm going through it with God. God's going to get me through it. So joy is a natural part. I don't think it's even possible to not have joy when you're thinking about Christ's return. At least I can't. It just immediately makes me feel joy. And so let's look at a couple verses. Let's see if I can find those now. Oftentimes, I wind up having to go back through my notes and seeing, okay, where is this at? Because I've gone on. Actually, Romans 8:18, where Paul's actually talking about something very similar, says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's a verse that I often go to when I'm thinking about what's going to happen. The glory that will be revealed in us upon his return. And that just brings me great joy. Now, I will also say, there was one last thing, because we were talking about the fact that joy is not dependent upon either mood or outcome. We've talked about outcome. We've also, prior to this, talked a little bit about the fact that it really doesn't have to do with anything about our mood. It actually, Philippians, trying to think of the exact verse now. I know it's chapter 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I think it's 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Okay. So now that says always, right? Pretty simple. So is there ever a time we're not to be rejoicing in the Lord?
Always.
Always. All the time. So in other words, when you're in a bad mood, you don't have to rejoice, right? No. It means at all times we're rejoicing in the Lord. At all times. I do believe it's Thessalonians, 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 17, 18, somewhere in that area, that says it again. It just says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you want to know the will of God for you? Rejoice always. That's what it says. So that's what he's desiring for your life. That's his will. Rejoice always. So it's not about your mood, and it's not about your specific circumstances or what you're going through. There is one last thing that I would like to share today. Actually, maybe we'll get through two. And that is another quote from Roland Wharton's book, The Surprising Power of Joy. And I'm going to quote this. And usually when I quote a book, I do it for this very reason. I'll read something and I go, you know, that's true. Lines up with the Word of God, or at least what my understanding of what I've seen in his Word. And he said it better than I could ever say it. And I typically don't say, well, these are my words, because these aren't my words. So if I know who said it, I'll go, okay, it's from this person, okay? Now, I do know, I've heard Pastor Dale say more than once, I'll often quote the person the first time. By the second time, I probably don't remember, and I'll say someone said, and by the third time, it's mine. Because it's really God's in the first place, okay? In other words, God gave that person how to say that. And so with anything that I share, it's the same way. It's really not mine. So share it with anybody. But he literally just said this in a way that I go, yeah, that's really good. I couldn't have worded it any better. And here's what he said in his book. First, I will here share a quote from his book. It is true, and he says it well. Here's what he says. It is easy to back away and leave the issue of joy entirely to God, shifting it into a category beyond our responsibility. Okay, so I don't know if any of you have done that. You know, just go, well, if it's going to be in my life, then God will make it happen. That's more or less what he's saying there. God will make it happen. It's not my responsibility. He gave it to me, so it's up to him to make it work. It's not the way God does things, okay? Shifting it to a category beyond our responsibility and ability, living as though there is simply nothing we can or have to do about it. But God instead loves to invite us into a partnership with him, inviting us into brokering dimensions of who he is into the world around us. We as his representatives. Even when he clearly has the capacity to do things quite well by himself, he set it up so that we can partner with him. Okay? In one sense, there's nothing we can do to earn more of him, because he's already given us joy. And yet we get to choose to respond to the invitation that he's given us to partner with him in showing his joy to the world. Okay? So that's really our part in it. We can either say, yeah, joy's in there. If it comes out, it comes out. Or we can say, you know, I'd love to walk in the joy of the Lord so that I can be a light that shines to the world. I want this in my life because God wants it in my life. Remember the passage we just talked about? Rejoice in the Lord, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will. Rejoice always. Always be rejoicing. That word rejoice there is directly connected to, if you go back in the Greek, when you see joy and you see rejoice, it's not that they're interchangeable, but one comes from the other. In other words, so if you think rejoicing, you're thinking joy, okay? And when you find yourself in joy, you're going to find yourself rejoicing. It's just a natural part, okay? So what is our first and foremost part in doing this? And I shared this back at the very beginning of this. In fact, I shared it back in the time of sharing about putting on the full armor of God. And that is in the very first point. And I think this is the most critical. If you were to look at one verse and say, how do you draw from the joy that God's put inside of you? What is your part in doing this? And it's found in Psalm 16:11. Because everything else that I share really stems from this one point. If you don't start here, you're probably not going to do the rest of them. Okay? Psalm 16:11 says this, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. If you spend time with God, you will find yourself ultimately in a place of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. If you find joy lacking in your life, do a checkup. Am I spending time with God? Might be a tip-off. Now, you should know that in advance because hopefully you are every day. But I will say, how would I put this? If in fact you're not, then it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why you're not walking in joy. It says it right here. This is where you're going to find fullness of joy, is in his presence. So you need to spend time in his presence every day if you want to walk in joy every day. Don't think you can skip a day and go, well, yesterday was good enough for today. All I will tell you, don't do what I've done. I'll say that first. I have spent a couple of days where I got to the end of the day and go, did I even think about God once today? Now, I will say, I'm glad that that happened a while back and it hasn't happened recently, but I've done it. And I've got to the end of the day and go, you know, today didn't go really well. And go, guess what? I didn't spend time thinking about God at all today. So is there any wonder why it didn't go real well? I wasn't walking in joy because I didn't spend. Now, like I said, don't try it to see if it works. I'd rather you just prove the other side and spend time with him and walk in joy. Prove it that way rather than go through the day without spending time with him and finding out, oh, that didn't go so well. Okay? Acts 2:28 says this. You have made known to me the ways of life. So this is very similar to what we read in Psalm 16:11, because it said there, you will show me the path of life. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. So this is basically saying the same thing, just using different words in Acts as it did in Psalm 16:11. That he will show you the ways of life. Well, one of the ways of life is to walk in joy, okay? To walk in love, to walk in peace. Everything that the Spirit has put inside of us. Today, as I said during this past time, God has had me sharing on joy, but this really works with all of that which God has given us. And we can find verses for those other things like love. Okay, how do you actually walk in love the way the Bible would have you do it? In other words, how do you access and walk out love the way he would have you walk out love? So you can do the same thing that we're doing here with joy according to God's word. The next thing that I'm going to share, that the Holy Spirit has put on my heart to share, is kind of just a more specific way of drawing on the joy that's in you from spending that, what I call, time alone with God. Because part of my alone time with God is spending time in his word. Okay? That's just a part of it. Because part of it's praying. And by praying, for me, that is me speaking to God and sharing with him that which are the desires of my heart and the needs that he's already aware of. But, you know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. He's still waiting for us to ask. So in prayer, we still present to him what he already knows and say, I'm relying on you, God, to give me, according to your word, what you say you will give me, but I'm bringing it before you. So there is still that part of prayer. So that's part of our time with him. The other part, and this is one of the key parts for me that God had to impress upon me several years ago, actually maybe 20 years ago now, which was still 20 years after I was saved. I'm a little bit of a slow learner sometimes, okay? And in other words, it only took him about 20 years to get to this to me. Many of you know me, so you know that I can talk fairly well and often and a lot. It's just kind of, I blame it on my mother. My mother could out-talk anyone I knew, and so it just got passed down to me. And I say that lovingly because I'd love no one more than my mother, but she could really talk. And God had to impress upon me that one of my main parts of spending time with him was shutting up and listening to what he had to say. So that's part of spending that quiet time, because it is there that he will reveal the paths for that he wants for your life. Not what you're going to him saying, well, I see this, God, and I need this to do this. That's what I see. Why not get it from the one who knows better than what you see? Get it from him going, him showing you, here's the path for your life. Go this way. Okay? So there does need to be in this quiet time, the quiet time in spending time with him. But as I said, a third part of me spending time alone with God is specifically time in his word, where I basically just go to the word and read what he's leading me to read, and then allowing him to share his truth of his word to me through his spirit and show me how I need this for my life, or maybe how I need to share it to someone else for their life. It's not always for me. Sometimes it's for someone else. Sometimes it's for both. Okay? But in his word, we also find joy. Let's look at a few verses. John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. And this is Jesus himself speaking. Okay? He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Okay, now, I don't know if any of you have noticed when you read the word of God, you do see Jesus' words in there. So it's part of the written word. But it is really the Word of God, be it something Jesus spoke himself, or the entire Word that we see, the written Word in the Bible, that my joy may remain in you. It's part of having that joy being in you all the time, and that your joy may be full, is on the Word of God. Psalms chapter 119, verse 111. In this case, I went to the English Standard Version of it. I actually just like the way it's translated best there. There it says, your testimonies, and by your here, it means God's. God's testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. So in other words, in the Word, we can read of the testimonies of God. Everywhere he's been faithful. Everywhere he's been faithful from the creation on. And it says there that when you read that Word, his testimonies from that Word, that they are the joy of my heart. So in other words, as you read his Word, the joy is going to start bubbling up out of you instead of just staying in there. Okay? We need to be as Jeremiah was. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, this is what Jeremiah said. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So his very words are the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. So you want to see joy coming up out of you. Not just cram full, which the Bible says you already are. That's what he's done. He's cram full, so it's just ready to spill out. This is one way it'll start coming out of you. Be in God's Word. Spend time alone with him. Look back on your salvation, the day of your salvation. Look forward to the ultimate victory that he has won for us. All these ways are ways that we can then access, draw from the joy that he's put in us. There are actually more. And that's actually where I'll conclude next week. I'm going to wrap up here today with a prayer. And then we'll go on with a few more, looking at them specifically. And one of them that I haven't covered yet is the one that kind of triggered this. I started noticing something, as I mentioned to all of you, when I came back from my trip to Tanzania, that I really couldn't stop being in joy and that I didn't want to. Why would you want to? All I can say is, if you've ever got to walk in joy, you really don't want to leave. At least I don't. I'd rather just stay there. And so, but I noticed it was one of the main triggers to me accessing and walking in it more now than I ever have before. All of these, God has showed me as I went along. And I will continue to draw from these. But next week, we'll start with the one that he shared with me even prior to going on this trip, and I actually got to walk out and see it day after day after day after day. So I'll let you think about what that possibly could be. I've given you a hint already earlier on, and it really comes from a book that Pastor Bill gave me to read, or at least it talks about this. Not really going to draw from that book much, but we'll let you think about to see if you can figure out what the next thing is going to be. Or think of some other things that the Word of God says enables us to draw from the joy that he's put on us so that we can walk it out. So I'd like to close here today, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you one more week on this topic of joy next week.